Well, I'm so grateful to be up here to speak on behalf of God's Word. Last week, we all celebrated Mother's Day. I didn't realize how that would affect me. My mother passed away in 2003, 20 years ago. It still seems like only yesterday. And I was staring at her portrait, and I was looking at it, thinking about all the memories and things like that. And for a moment, I was happy, very happy, thinking about all the things that we had done. Of course, some of the funny things, when you have a child who's about 8 or 9, maybe, I think I was, and I climbed up in the attic. Mom walks through the hallway just as I come falling out of the ceiling, down to the floor. She'd already had a bad day because she had wrecked her car. And I just added to it. And she looked at me as I was trying to crawl away. I ain't kidding you, I was stunned. I didn't know what to do. I was just trying to crawl, and she just looked at me and shook her head. I think about those things. It makes me smile. I kind of chuckle and things like that. But then I miss it. I miss her. Miss her badly. And then, of course, thinking about her, I started thinking about my sister. I just lost my sister this year. All of that tends to bring back the pain and the emotion that we all have gone through as we watch our family and others as they pass away. It's tough. It's very tough. And so when I go to the scriptures looking for some kind of consolation, let's let the Word of God speak to us this morning, because I think in the book of Job we have something that we can take a look at. So let's begin with his beginning of his story. And it basically is telling a historic reference of this man named Job. So it says here, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 children. And it goes on to talk about his wealth, because it says his substance, the things he owned, everything he had gathered as he had worked, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. A yoke, by the way, is usually 2 oxen, so he had 1,000. And 500 she-asses and a very great household. Large family. So that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. Very popular, very rich. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one on his day. Now, scholars believe that that refers to their birthday. You got 10 children, assuming they all were born in different months. We don't know. That's at least 10 months of birthdays. So they feasted in their houses, every one on his day, and he sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. It was a good family gathering. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So we see right away that just because you're wealthy and because you're great, you're well known, you're one of the greatest men in the East, that's when people come to you for advice. Because he was so well known and so popular, and we learned later on in the chapters, further chapters of Job, that people came to him for advice, for judgment, for guidance. And he had these sons and the daughters, 3 daughters, and he worried about them. I don't know about you, but when your children are growing up and they start to get out on their own, you really do concern yourself. I know as they're growing up, you put in a lot of prayer time. But it seems like after they get out of your house, don't you seem to put more prayer time into the mix? Because we're not sure. Job wasn't sure. He said, maybe they cursed God, you know, sometime, and he's constantly sacrificing for his children. He's intervening, folks. He's interceding for his children to God Almighty, whom he feared, because he thought they may have cursed God. That's interesting. He loved them that much. Now, what Job didn't know was that there was a meeting going on in heaven between what's referred to as the sons of God, the angels. Apparently, there's times when the Father would have a convocation of all his angels, and they would come, and they would actually have some kind of meeting and talk over things. Well, Satan came, and we'll have a discussion later on about whether he can still go there or not, but Satan came. Now, unknown to Job, God points out how great a man that Job is. He says he's a servant like no other. And Satan, of course, he's our accuser. That's what Satan means, by the way, if you don't know. Satan means accuser. Well, he's accusing Job that, well, he's only fearing God because of what you've done for him, the wealth. You take all that away, all his substance, he'd curse you to your face. And so God let Satan put Job to the test, because Job was about to experience the worst time of his life. And so here it is. We don't know how long that this period of time between the opening and that meeting that this happened, but in verse 13 of chapter 1, it says, "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house." We've already established that was likely a birthday. "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God..." Some people believe it was a lightning storm. "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." "And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands." In other words, they split out into three groups. "And fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." "And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am escaped alone to tell thee." Now, when I read this account of what happened to Job, all in one day, all probably in the space of however long it took me to read that scripture. A servant came in, one right after the other, and gave Job the bad news. Much like we might get the bad news. Maybe we get the report, a doctor does a scan on us or does some kind of blood work, determines maybe we have cancer or some other disease. And perhaps there may not even be a cure. And in the case of Aaron's co-worker, her husband, the co-worker's husband, had a cancer that was already advanced. It was too far advanced, really, to do anything with it. All they could do was put him on hospice. When he got the news and when he passed away, it was just the space of a few weeks, I think, right? How many? 5.5 weeks. I sometimes wonder if it's when one of our relatives or somebody we love passes away, and if they pass away suddenly, I wonder sometimes if that's not a grace. Maybe it's a mercy. What can be really sad and hard is to go through the hospice experience, and I know a lot of us in here have already done that. We've gone through a hospice experience. But Job experienced probably the worst tragedy known to most men anyway. He lost everything. He lost everything that made him wealthy. Everything, all the substance. Like I said, we may not understand all the value of all of the sheep and the camels and the goats and all this stuff, but in that day and time, that was a sign as to whether or not you were prosperous. And the fact is, he had 10 children. He was very blessed by God just to even have 10 children. And the thing about all of that goes to show how great God had blessed him. And now Satan accuses him of saying, it's because of the wealth, take it away and God will bless you. Now we're going to try to find out what Job's response is. And most of you may have already know if you've read the story. But I've always maintained that tragedy and hardships and things like that will drive you in one of two directions. Either it'll drive you closer to God, cling to Him, regardless of the circumstances. Whether you lose someone you love or whether you get bad news, you're either going to draw closer to God or you're going to draw away, drive a wedge away from God. So Job gives us a response here. Then Job arose and he rent his mantle. It means he ripped his clothes. He was so grieved and he was so upset, and he shaved his head. That's a sign to show that I have nothing. I'm the lowest of the low. I'm shaving my head. I've got nothing. And he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. There's times when I've experienced some kinds of pain, and it's not an uncommon thing, but we often blame God. You realize in your insurance policy, tornadoes and floods, you know what they're called? Acts of God. I'm not so sure about that. Acts of God. God didn't cause this. Satan caused it. God allowed it. He could have stopped it. But you know, sometimes we are not prevented from experiencing the pain and the tragedy that we sometimes have to go through. And the thing that makes it relevant to me is because as I was thinking of my mother and my sister, I began to think of all the other people. I know you did that song in dedication to Wally Lawson. I love Wally. He was a great friend of mine. Malin, Dylan was a great friend of mine. Others in this church, I can't list them all. There's so many. And so I begin to think about and gravitate toward thinking about all these people that I know and love, that I used to be able to stand up here and I could look at their faces and pick them out. I was so glad to see all of them here, sitting in here. But they've run their race, and now they've reached the final destination. But what's that going to do for us? How are we supposed to move on from the grief we feel? And I'm telling you, the pain is real. You know this. I don't think I need to explain it to you, but there may be a few here, and perhaps those who are listening to this on the internet or CD or somewhere that's not going to understand what it's going to take to move from the grief you got. I remember when I was talking to my mother one time, What a lot of people may not know, that we actually had another sister, an older sister. Her name was Wanda Faye. I never met her. She died when she was 8 months old. And after all those years, that was my mom's first child, all those years, I asked my mother about the circumstances and everything. She still couldn't talk about it. It was too difficult. The memories were too painful. And I understand that. I understand. And so I actually was looking and thinking about how was I going to put into words about the pain that I still feel. It's not like I'm over it. Do you really ever get over the death of a child? I don't think so. But so much, I knew this one lady that I worked with for years, and I loved her. She was a great friend of mine. We helped each other out. And for years, she always took the Friday of the week of Mother's Day, she took Friday off. And one day I was calling her up and I happened to think, hey, this weekend's Mother's Day. I'm going to say Happy Mother's Day to her. But it turned out she wasn't at work. She was at home. I had gotten her, we have what's called call forwarding. It forwarded to her. And right before I said it, she said, well, no, I'm not at work today. You'll have to call someone else. She said, but I took today off because I did not want to hear Happy Mother's Day. And then I remembered, oh, she lost her 18-year-old son in a motorcycle accident years ago. And it was still painful for her to hear Happy Mother's Day. I know it's tough. It's tough to move on from the grief. But the thing is, we will get through it. We may not get over it, but we will get through it. See, God has promised that He will be with us till the end, that He's never going to leave us, even though the people we love are gone, and we're waiting for our chance to see them again. I don't know about you, but I'm looking so forward to seeing so many, not only of my relatives, but friends and family, all these people that I know and I love, and I want to see them. I want to see my eldest sister that I've never met. I know it sounds odd to think about and to be sad over somebody you've never met. But there was a woman that I want to just mention. Her name was Amy Rosenthal. Who was Amy Rosenthal? She was a writer. She wrote multiple children's books. And she also did, I think they were called just short films, but she created these short films, and I think mostly geared for children. And she loved children. I think she had three of her own. Of course, they were pretty much grown up. But the sad part about it was the fact that she contracted ovarian cancer. And there was not much they could do. They tried to treat her, but there was not a whole lot they could do. And her husband told a story about the process. He said, as upbeat as this lady was, as much energy and passion as this lady had, he said the hardest part for him was to watch this lady diminish little by little, day by day. It took several years for her to eventually succumb to the cancer. But in those last months, she was on hospice. Amy Rosenthal was on hospice. And the husband had no idea. He had not experienced hospice before. He had no idea that she would actually go down to half her weight in his care. She diminished that much. And over that time, he knew that they were going to not have that much time together. So they actually talked about it. Folks, we should not avoid that talk. We should have either something written down or something expressed of what our wishes, our will should be if something were to happen to each one of us. Because that would be very tough on the surviving member to have to take care of everything and not really know what it was that you would prefer. So have that talk. And so he had that talk with his wife, but he didn't know it at the time, but she had wrote an article for the New York Times. See, she loved her husband so much. They were a very loving couple. But she wrote an article of all the great things that her husband was to her. This is it. New York Times, she titled it, "You May Want to Marry My Husband." She knew she was going to die. She was worried about him. He was worried about her. And you can see it's a fairly lengthy article. But what it was, I don't know if you can see it right here in the middle below the picture, it says, "A hope for the right person to read this and another love story to begin." That was her hope for her husband. She wanted him to go on, to move forward. "Don't dwell in the grief," she said. And sometimes I feel that that's where I am. I know I don't dwell on it all the time, but I dwell on it. In fact, all week, I've dwelled on it. I may not show it that much, but I did. I dwelled on it. And it does make you sad. But the scriptures tell us that we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. You see, when you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, I'm not sure how you move past the grief. I'm not sure how you get past the sorrow, especially when you have a tragic instance. And what do I mean by tragic? Sometimes you lose many members all at once. All at once. Through a car wreck or through some other kind of accident or something like that. And it's difficult to move past that. But your life kind of does a freeze frame moment. So when something tragedy experiences, it's almost like you're frozen in that moment. That's all you can think about. It's almost paralyzing to a degree. And trust me, I understand these emotions. I know how they work. But when you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, I don't know how a person is able to move forward from their grief. But the fact is, I feel confident. My faith is such that when it's my time to leave this world, that I'm going to see all the people that I know or feel confident know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to meet them again. I know that doesn't always comfort you. You know, Christians and family members mean well. I know they do. I've even used it myself, but we always go up to the person when we pat them on the back. Everything happens for a reason. You know, God has a reason for everything. Just hold on, hang in there. Or, you know, something like that. We do these, they're called platitudes. We say things that we try to make people feel better. But does it make you feel better? No, usually not. Because when somebody says to me, "It happens for a reason," I'd like to know the reason. But unfortunately, Job didn't know the reason. In all of the book of Job, I think there's close to 50 chapters maybe, in all of the book of Job, Job has no idea what went on. No idea. It was between God and Satan and Job, and he had no clue. Yes, the story ended with a happy ending. All his wealth was restored and more. And his family was restored. He had 10 more children. But I started thinking about that. I thought, just because you have 10 more children, do you really forget the ones you lost? No. Can you imagine the pain and sorrow that Job carried for maybe till the end of his life? Because he lost all of his children at once, everything at once, but he clung to the fact that he feared God. He didn't charge God. He didn't blame God. I know sometimes we do. I have. I blame God for things. But then later come to understand it wasn't his fault. Folks, we live in a cursed world. Ever since Adam and Eve, and they were deceived, our world has been cursed, and all that curse has come down to our day and time. We're going to experience these things. They're not going to be pleasant. But somehow we got to work to move on. So the fact is that this woman, Amy Rosenthal, wanted her husband, so badly she wanted her husband to move on, to start a new life, to begin a new chapter, that she ended her article. Maybe you can see it down here in the lower right-hand corner. She ended her article and she says, and I want to leave this blank space so that he could fill in his new story. Wow. I read that and I thought, amazing that she loved him so much that she left a blank space there that so he could begin a new chapter in his life with someone else. Now, from his perspective, and by the way, I think he's still not married. He hasn't remarried because it's hard for him to move on. He even said that sometimes, because I listened to his speech that he gave about this article, and he says he has difficulty sometimes of enjoying the moments. Have you ever had those moments to where you begin to enjoy life again, you begin to do something and experience life again, and you're enjoying it, and then all of a sudden you think about, well, they're not here to share it with me. And so you begin to feel a little bit guilty. And that's what he said, that he's learning to overcome, to be able to feel guilty by feeling joy. See, the Psalms tells us, it says, weeping may be endured for a night. That's what we're doing right now, folks. The weeping endures for a night. But what happens in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. Praise God for that joy. And I praise God that you will put your hope in this final scripture I want to give, and the singers can come up. This final scripture. In Revelation 21 and 4, and God shall wipe away all tears. I've heard people say there's no tears in heaven. I don't know. God's going to wipe them away, all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Praise God, there's coming a time when all of this will be over. One more valley, one more hill, and we're going to lay down these heavy loads. Thank the Lord. I can't say no more than to praise God. I'm going to see my mother again. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we'll praise Jesus together. Thank you, Lord, for the words of Job and other places, God, and for Revelations 21:4. I'll be so glad, Lord, when all of this is over. May you lift our hearts. Help us to move on. I know we won't forget, but help us to move on and enjoy those times when we have joy in our life, that we can experience the good things again. And Lord, that we may overcome all of this grief and look forward to that day when all of this will be over and we get to rejoice in your arms. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.